Hello, welcome back. This is Sean Doyle, the host of the podcast Aligned. Aligned is built and designed for executives of emerging middle market companies, executives who are looking for new ways to leverage sales and marketing for more revenue. Today, we're going to continue the dialogue we've had with Luke Allen, the president of OHD and an expert in sales culture. We've discussed attracting, developing, and now we're going to talk about retaining talent. But before we do that, Luke, I want to play a little game here. What's a typical sales rep worth? 1.5 million top line sales?
Yeah, in our business, yeah, somewhere in there. That's a good
guess.
All right,
so we're just going to pretend it's 1.5.
Okay.
And let's say 30% of that, 33% of that for easy math goes to the bottom line.
Okay.
At least to adjusted gross income.
Right. Okay.
So every good salesperson is worth $500,000 to an executive.
Sure.
I think this is a pretty important conversation.
Very important.
So if you have 10 salespeople, we're talking, what's that, 5 million?
5 million.
Okay. Yeah. This is an important conversation. Let's talk about retaining the sales talent.
Absolutely.
Where should we start?
Well, I think we should start with probably the biggest pain point that I hear, Sean, or the question that I get a lot is, we feel like we bring in good people and then we spend all of this money and time developing them and then they leave. And they go to a competitor or they change to a different job. And, you know, sometimes that forms into a millennial thing of, you know, millennials, they jump from job to job. You know, I hear that because I'm on the front end of that generation. So all of this gets into retaining talent. So to me, let's assume that you've brought in top talent and let's assume that you have an onboarding strategy and you're developing them like we talked about on the first two episodes. Now it's into retaining. So you don't want to retain bad talent. So let's take it from the vantage point of retaining top talent. So the keys there, the way that we found or the keys there are, first off is you have a development plan of where they're going within your organization and you frequently meet on that. You talk about it. It's something that's always in front of you.
Frequently. Quarterly review, annual review. Well, do you believe in annual reviews?
Yeah, no, we do them. We do them because that's still what I think we do from an HR perspective. But I have found that this needs to be living, breathing, something that you as the person they report to are aware of, engaged in. So I'm talking weekly, monthly discussions around, you know, going to lunch or around traveling together. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the insights in reading and studying cognitive marketing and thinking about marketing and sales from a cognitive brain science point of view, it's the insight of why Vegas works. So Vegas works because rewards are variable and infrequent. So I don't know when they're coming, right? If I knew when the reward was going to come, I would just wait and I'd get the expected reward. I like what you're saying plays into the way our minds work in that if it's frequent, it's variable though. It's not as, okay, it's time Monday, third Monday, and I'm going to have my meeting with Luke.
Yeah.
It's a lunch here. It's a visit in the hallway.
Right.
It's dropping in someone's office, a telephone call.
Right.
That's actually more powerful from a brain stimulation point of view.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question because I feel like that you always get the questions coming my way, but
you're the expert.
No. Here. Yeah. So if you want to know about your future with my company, does it mean more to you if you initiate the meeting? Or if I initiate
that's a leading question, Your Honor.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, of course it means more if you bring it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think we all know the answer to that. But what we rarely do as executives and CEOs or presidents, whatever you are, we rarely find time to do that.
So I've got a crazy idea and I don't do this. I should do it. I've got it's a free thing online. I don't even know what to call it. I guess it's a software as a service, but it's free. So it's called Follow Up Then. So whenever I have a dialogue with somebody, if I want to remind myself to have a follow-up with this, you can actually go into follow-up then and say, remind me in 2 months, remind me in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I guess you could do the same thing on a calendar.
On a calendar,
but I need tools to help me, to stimulate me to have this follow-up conversation. So
I guess
you could use a tool like that to keep it on top of your mind if you're managing somebody.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah, absolutely. But the point there is whether you're using a tool like that or a calendar or whatnot, it needs to be on the front of your mind. And that means even more to your people. So again, when we're talking about this topic of retaining talent, people need to know where they're going and also that they're valued and that you're meeting with them and communicating that on a regular basis. And it doesn't have to be formal all the time. I think that's, again, a beauty thing that we've found is it really is even better when it's not formal. So, you know, Sean, let's grab a Coke after work or a drink or whatever your thing is, and just love to catch up on how things are going this year, but also talk about, you know, where we're going. How do you see things moving? That's huge.
In my culture, if I told you to get a Coke, they'd think they were getting fired. Because apparently one time a million years ago, I had a Coke with one person who I fired. And like cultural.
That's the code word.
It's crazy. I've never done it again. Yeah. One time. But it's culture now. So you can't, got to be careful with that.
You can't say get a Coke. Okay. Well, we'll keep that close on Fitzmartin time. Yeah. So retaining there. So that would be one of the aspects outside of a direct management perspective. The other part of retaining is building a culture where people are connected with each other. So a number of the items that we've received on feedback from our team and what I've talked to from other businesses is culture and retainment are directly related to each other. So if someone feels connected with the bigger purpose of the company, and that's clearly communicated, they feel connected to it, but they're also connected to their coworkers in a relationship, the retainment, it goes out the roof.
All right, Luke, I'm going to play the surly CEO who says, okay, our company has one purpose. That's to make money.
Yeah, that's why this is even more important, right? I mean, if you don't do this well, retaining top talent becomes a problem. And what does that threaten the most?
So retaining culture, a culture, a sales culture that retains is about making money.
It's
so when
the
you
driver.
When you say a shared culture, I immediately go to, gosh, we all love trees and let's go save the trees. That's not necessarily what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about, but it can be interpreted that way sometimes. And I do talk to presidents and other CEOs that will ask me like, how big of a deal is this really? And I think you have a speaker come into your local business group and they're talking about culture and some of the guys or ladies in there are thinking, I just don't know if this is really that big a deal. And my communication there would be, it's a huge deal because if you have good talent, like we're assuming that you do, you've got to retain those people because that is going to be the honey spot to keep your business profitable and growing. And now what you can do as a leader, here's the key nugget. What you can do as a leader is change your focus on keeping people engaged and keeping people working hard or micromanaging people. If you can take that focus and put it on developing new innovative technology, new products, growing your business, 5-10 year down the road viewpoints, now you're driving business to where you're growing the company. And that's what you really want to be freed up to do. I think when you talk to every executive, if you said, what do you really want to do? They don't tell you, I want to micromanage my people or worry about what they're doing. That's not what they tell you. What do they tell you? I want to grow my business. I want to really look 5 years in advance and create innovative leap technology. That's what everybody tells you. But then if you looked at what they spend their time doing, it's very rarely in line with that. The only way you transition that is retaining top talent. So you have to have great culture where they're each hold each other accountable and you have a team that's pushing each other outside of you having to do that work.
What I'm reminded of as you say that is that framework we talked about back in Attract, where we have to look at people holistically in the way the pain mapping from UCal Berkeley. I'm solving with work, I'm solving a personal pain, I'm solving a financial pain, I'm solving a strategic pain.
Yeah.
So if you look at me as an employer and continue to think about me holistically, you'll realize that that is one of the keys to retaining me, right? So I could be doing great financially. And I think this is probably the easiest mistake I could make with an employee is I'm paying you well.
Right.
Well, what if I'm not solving anything in their life strategically or personally, or even worse than helping, I'm hurting them strategically or personally with demands I'm making or whatever the situation might be.
Yeah.
So is that a correct assumption then? You've got to look at that again, holistically as the person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a key thing. And one piece, you mentioned it earlier, is most people get so focused on just the financial aspect. And I think that's important, but it's not the only important thing. And it might not even be the most important thing for people. You have to look at it holistically and you have to keep that as an open dialogue. So one example, Sean, is we have to travel. A lot of our regional salespeople travel a lot. The question that I ask a lot of these people, let's just say it's a guy and he's married, I'm really not as worried about what the travel is like for him. What's the question that I ask holistically? How's this impacting your wife or your family, your kids, 2 months into the job, 2 years into the job? That is the type of thing where you're always measuring these holistic pieces that you need to know, because it might be fine today, but in 2 months from now, it could be a very different scenario.
Yeah. So what else is critical in retaining these. Let's even talk about that A talent. What have you seen? What's your experience been? Maybe even people that you've lost.
Sure.
What are lessons you've learned?
Well, I will tell you, that's a great question. And I think the loss part is one that will absolutely happen with this, with A talent. And here's why. Normally, A talent that I have found are upwardly mobile. They're upwardly driven people. Like any other organization, as people go up the org chart, it gets smaller, right? And what we have found is when you bring in a lot of great blue chip level talented people, most of the time they want to grow. And so what this will inevitably lead to is you're going to have people that will be all vying for similar spots. They're going to want to know what their future is. And sometimes the answer is going to be, we don't have the same timeline as you have. I mentioned a story earlier. I told you about the employee that wanted to run a company. That wasn't really something we could offer. And that gets into a great culture. If you have that open dialogue with your people, it also allows you to really look at what the threats are to your business on these A players and how do you replace them if they choose to go do something different, run a company, buy a company, whatever it is. But that will happen because if you don't have that problem, I would tell you, you might want to look at, do you have A, B, or C players? Because your C players are normally people that aren't as concerned about upward push and growth. They're happy with the job. It's the best pay they've ever had or whatever the scenario is. And you might not have this problem. If you have A players on your team, you will run into this issue. And Sean, I'm sure you've seen it throughout your business career as well.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. And it makes sense. So is it hopeless to retain an A player?
I don't think so. I think when you have great culture, let's just say your pay is good, it matches competitors. The real ace up your sleeve is outcompete your competitors with culture and with human capital and with human development and holistic approach. If you do that well and you're paying the same, say, or better, wherever your scenario is, that's how you outcompete your competitor for retaining top talent.
So one of the things when I'm working with a client that I always bring up is the measurement and structure systems. And I don't know that I've seen many that had a measurement and structure system around culture. Everybody's pretty good at watching, you know, if they make a widget, they watch what their competitors' widgets are. They look at how outsourcing has lowered the cost of widget manufacturing. They're very attuned to the widget market. But I don't know that I've seen a culture measurement. Is it too soft to measure? Can there be a number in culture? Is there, how would you approach that?
Well, there's a number of ways that people do this, and you can do it through surveys, things like that. And some people don't like that because they don't know if they're getting real true feedback. But you can measure the culture impact of how people rate different things for your company.
You think about things like the 360 interviews and the Net Promoter Score stuff and those types of surveys.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another way to do this too is to measure culture through retainment of your higher rated employees. So if you rate your employees, say on goals and objectives every year and these things, you might take your top 20% group and then look at how you're doing at retaining that group over time. And what that will tell you is it's not, because it's not just pay. It's going to be around, do they love the job? Do they love working for you? Do they love working for your managers? That retainment will also give you the truth, the hard truth of your culture.
Any last words on retaining?
I think it's key. I think if you're missing this key point, you know, listen to the first few episodes and try to tie these three together because they really do bleed off each other.
Paul, good observation. Paul. Who's
Sean?
Paul?
I don't know.
Paul Feinbaum.
Paul.
Okay, Luke. I'm Sean.
We'll
for those of you
out.
Who don't know me.
No,
we're definitely not cutting
no,
this out. This has been the last episode of four, the first where we introduced sales culture and what it was or what it is, what it can be and why it matters to you. Then we went through a series of episodes, one on attracting great talent, one on developing great talent, and finally on retaining great talent. So executives, we are all about a sales first culture and a solid sales culture as well. We want you to be finding new ways to leverage marketing and sales. And Luke, I think you gave me at least 2 to 3 aha moments in each of these episodes, things I had not considered. And I hope everybody also got that same enjoyment.
Well, thank you, Sean. I enjoyed our time and look forward to hopefully having a conversation in the future.
Let's do it. In fact, I've got this idea, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay, let's do it.